Well, I'd like to thank your minister, the Reverend McKee, for the invitation to come along today and minister the word of God to you. And it is my prayer that the Lord will speak to your heart today, wherever you are, and that his word will come refreshing to you, and that you will be uplifted and encouraged by the word. Let's just commit this time of the preaching of the word to the Lord. Our gracious God, how we do thank thee that we can now turn to thy word and seek thy face and hear, O Lord, thy will for us, thy people. And we pray that you will give to us willing hearts and submissive spirits, Father, that we will respond to your word with humility and with love and obedience. O God, grant us strength and help, we pray. Give, O Lord, the help of the Holy Ghost. Lord, how we need the Holy Ghost to come upon the preaching of your word. O Lord, give power, give unction, we pray. Grant to us, O Lord, that we might be built up in our most holy faith today. Lord, grant this now as we turn to thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you please turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18? 1 Kings chapter 18, and we'll read together from verse 29 down to the verse 32. 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're reading from verse 29. And the word of God says, "And it came to pass, when midday was past, that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord." Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless this reading of his word. My text this morning is found in the verse 30, and especially the words at the end of that verse, where we read, "And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." In this verse of God's precious word, our attention is drawn to a pivotal moment in this eventful chapter. During the course of challenging the prophets of Baal to prove that their God was the true God and the only God, Elijah not only mocked their futile and false religion, but he also reestablished the worship and honor of God in the land. And he did so by repairing the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now, Elijah's purpose was to display publicly the supremacy of the Lord, and to demonstrate that God alone is worthy of worship. In fact, he challenges the people in verse 21 with the words, "If the Lord be God, follow him." And in fact, as we read further down in the chapter, we find that Elijah prayed that God would send down fire for the purpose that it would be known that God was the God in Israel, that the Lord was the supreme God in Israel. And therefore, the primary purpose for the exclusive worship of God is that he is the only true God. He is the supreme God. There is no other God like unto the Lord. And we see that brought out in verse 39. Whenever the fire falls and the people see the great work that God did and his sovereignty and majesty, they say, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." They realize that God was supreme. that God was sovereign. Now, in order to recover the true and sole worship of God, Elijah rebuilt the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And it is my intention, as we come to consider this verse, to take the subject of the altar of the Lord as speaking of worship, and especially of personal and family and public worship. And this is in keeping with the scriptures. For preeminent in the worship of God is Christ and the cross. And the altar of the Lord signified the cross and the death of Christ. We find the Apostle Paul saying in Galatians 6 and the verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore we could take that as describing the theme of worship, the glorying in the cross. And we think of that which is central to worship, the preaching of the word. And again, the word of God tells us that Christ crucified is to be the theme of our preaching. And Paul further explains to new covenant believers in Hebrews 13 and the verse 10. And he says there, we have an altar. And there were Jewish believers who were pointing to Christians and saying, we have an altar, you don't. And Paul says to these new covenant believers, we do have an altar, and it is Jesus Christ. And so as we think of this altar here, which Elijah repaired, and we think of the subject of the altar of the Lord, we are drawn to think of worship. And the question I put to you today as we think of this subject is, has the altar been damaged or broken down in your life, whether it be private or family? Is there a need for repairs of the altar in your home, in your own devotional life? Is there a need for you to examine yourself afresh and see whether or not the altar has been broken? Oh yes, especially we should do so at this time, whenever public worship has been stopped. And I wonder, what is our attitude towards it? Do we have a sense of just passing on quickly? Do we feel within our hearts a great desire for the return of public worship? Is there that longing within our hearts, oh, that God would bring this back for us again? You see, as we think here of Elijah repairing the altar of the Lord, we all need to examine ourselves in this regard. Does the altar in your life need repair? And we ought to pray as David did in Psalm 139. And if you could turn with me, please, to Psalm 139. And here is a prayer that we can take to ourselves and pray ourselves that God will do what is requested in this prayer. For David says in Psalm 139 and the verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And surely we should pray that, God, search me, and see whether or not the altar is in disrepair in my life. And we ought to do this for the honor and the glory of Christ, for it is his worship. It is his honor, it is his glory that is at stake. And so I want to consider with you then this morning, repairing the worship of God. Repairing the worship of God. I want you to observe with me firstly that God's worship can be broken down. God's worship can be broken down. We read in our text that Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. The altar was broken down, or the word there, broken down, it means to tear down or to beat down, or to overthrow. And its meaning is brought out in its use whenever the Lord told Gideon to throw down the altar of Baal that his father had put up. And it's the very same word, to throw down, to tear down. And so the question, therefore, we need to ask is this: why had the altar been broken, been torn down? It had been broken down by false religion. By false religion, Baal worship had pervaded the land. There were 450 prophets of Baal, and there was only one prophet of the Lord. Ahab was king at the time. And he not only continued the practice of idolatry that Jeroboam had encouraged and introduced, but Ahab took it a step further. He built a temple to Baal. He built an altar to Baal. He engaged in the worship of Baal. And we are told in the Word of God that he did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And the sad reality of those days was that Baal worship wasn't just a rival to God's worship. It had supplanted it. It had replaced it. During this evil time, it is likely that the altar of the Lord had been torn down. And if you turn with me to 1 Kings 19, the following chapter, 1 Kings 19 and the verse 10, and here we read of Elijah telling the Lord of what was occurring in the land. And he says, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword." Notice those words, "thrown down thine altars." Those who are zealous for false gods cannot tolerate the true worship of God, and so they seek to destroy it, as Cain did with Abel, and we know that story. Cain's offering was rejected. Cain's worship was not pleasing to God, but Abel's was. And as a result, therefore, Cain hated Abel. And in order to remove that worship and that testimony that was pleasing to God, Cain destroyed Abel. And that is what occurs when false religion comes against the worship of God. And we must be on our guard against the devices of Satan and false religion. Apostasy is not passive. Rather, it is opposed and hostile to true worship. It seeks to supplant it, to destroy it, to put it away. And the altar of the Lord then can be destroyed and broken down by false religion. But the altar, furthermore, had been broken down by carelessness. By carelessness. The altar had been left to be broken down by a people who were not using it anymore. And ask yourself that question. Why do we read here that Elijah had to repair the altar? It's because it had been left. It wasn't being used. And God's enemies had come and torn it down. And the overthrown altar was not missed. No one was jealous for God's worship, unlike God himself, who we are told in Exodus 34 and the verse 14 that God is a jealous God. And God is a God who tells us we are not to worship any other because he is jealous of his worship. And yet God's people were not jealous for his worship. The sad reality is this, that believers can contribute to the breakdown of worship by having a slack attitude towards it, by undervaluing it, by not prioritizing it. And I wonder whether or not you and I, if we're honest, would say that we are guilty of this, of slackness, of neglect. And neglect is often the cause for idolatry to creep into our hearts. as was the case in the days prior to King Josiah. What had happened in the days prior to King Josiah? Evil had spread in the land. Idolatry was rampant. And we find that in the 18th year of King Josiah, that the word of God was found again in the temple. And what does that tell us? It tells us in the days prior, God's word was forgotten. It was neglected. It was left in the temple to collect dust. And surely that was a big cause, a major cause for the decline in the land in those days. Oh, are we guilty of this carelessness? Are we guilty of undervaluing the importance of private devotion? Are we guilty, husbands and fathers? Are you guilty of being careless and neglecting family worship? Have you treated the responsibility of leading your family to the altar of God at home as a light thing, as something that is not really that important? And surely at this time, whenever we have been kept from meeting together in public, we have to consider this thought ourselves and think, have we been guilty of carelessness, of not appreciating and valuing the public worship of God, or that this time might renew that desire within us? Carelessness can so easily creep in, even more so at a time like this. You see, God warns against it. I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy 4 and the verse 23. And the Lord knows our hearts. He knows that we can so easily drift, we can so easily become neglectful. And here he warns his people in Deuteronomy 4 and the verse 23. And the Lord says, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. And you will notice in those verses that God makes it clear that when his people forget and become negligent with his worship and with the relationship that they have with him, idolatry creeps in. And God here in his graciousness and mercy is warning us against that. And so God's worship can be broken down. But then secondly and finally, I want you to observe that God's worship can be repaired. Oh yes, it can be broken down. But praise God, it can be repaired. For we read in our text that Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. This word repaired, in its root meaning, it simply has this meaning, to heal. It has the sense then of restoration, of curing, of bringing back to health. And this must happen when God's worship is broken down. There has to be a repairing. You see, the Lord says through Jeremiah, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? There has to be a recovery. There has to be turning back to what God has revealed. And this meaning of repair, that being to heal, it is significant because healing is brought about by bringing back the way in which God has revealed he is to be worshipped. Healing is brought about when God's people turn back to what God has said. You see, this word repaired, it is significantly used in 2 Chronicles 7 and the verse 14 as to heal. And I want you to turn with me to that passage. And this verse is famous and very well known. And this word repaired is translated in this text as to heal. And it is significantly used here. 2 Chronicles 7 and the verse 14. And the Lord says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so we observe, therefore, that healing comes, restoration comes, when we come in humility before God, in repentance, and in obedience to his word. God says, if my people call upon me in humility, if they seek my face and desire that God would come again in power and in revival, if they would turn and repent of their wickedness, God says, I will heal you. I will repair. I will restore. It is noteful in this passage that Elijah does repair the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You will note, therefore, that a new and a novel way was not adopted. Neither was the contemporary method approved. Elijah did not use the altar of Baal, which had been polluted by the worship of Baal. He doesn't build a new altar, as it were. Rather, he revives the altar that had been used by his ancestors for the worship of God. That altar that was in need of repair had formerly been used for worship. And now Elijah comes and he takes 12 unhewn stones and he rebuilds this altar. And we read that in verse 31. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And that language is significant because it shows that Elijah repaired the altar in accord with God's command. Because how he repaired the altar was exactly how God had said that the altar was to be made. And the point being made here is very clear. What had been broken down was restored. What had been neglected was recovered. And as I read these words, he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. It reminds me of the actions of Isaac, who we are told in Genesis 26 and the verse 18 that he digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. How beautiful this is. He doesn't dig new wells. He goes to the wells that had been digged formerly, that had blessed his father Abraham. And what does he do? He digs them again. They had been blocked. They had been stopped by wicked men, by the Philistines who were idolaters. And he digs them out again. And he doesn't rename them with different names. He names them the same as his father had called them. How wonderful this is. The wells were made available again. Or you may have failed in your walk with God, as we all have at times. You may have been guilty of neglecting, of being careless, of drifting into idolatry in the heart. And we need to face up to this. Maybe the altar of God is broken down in your life today. And if you're honest before God, you acknowledge that you have failed in this regard, whether it is private or family or public worship. And yet I quickly move on to say, do not despair. because there is forgiveness and there is healing with God. If you turn with me to Hosea 14 and the verses 1 and 2, and here we read of God's people who had failed in the worship of God, and yet the Lord here speaks words that ought to encourage our hearts. Hosea and the chapter 14 and the verses 1 and 2. And the Lord says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. And notice what God says in verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. You see, yes, you and I may have failed. We may have been guilty of backsliding in regards to worship, but God says, I will heal. And it's exactly the same word as is here in our text, repaired. God can repair it. What you have lost can be recovered. Praise God for that. But this repair that we observe here that means to heal, it is something that is absolutely necessary. It is absolutely vital. If we are going to do anything for God, the altar must be in place. His worship must be happening. And you will notice here in the context of this chapter that this was one of the first things that Elijah did. We read it earlier in verse 29 of what was happening whenever the prophets of Baal were attempting to call down the fire of God and nothing had happened. And we read in verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You see, this was the beginning, the commencement, as it were, of the fire falling. The altar was repaired. Before the fire of God could fall upon the sacrifice, the altar of the Lord had to be restored. And we need to understand that today. We will not have spiritual power. We will not know the Lord's blessing if he is not preeminent, if he is not being worshipped with all of our hearts. And let us be clear upon this today. The fire of revival will not fall on corrupt worship. And isn't that displayed as we see the efforts of the prophets of Baal? The fire of God did not fall. Heaven was shut. God was silent towards this corrupt worship. Oh, what a lesson there is here for us. If we are to desire God to come in power in these days, and all we need it, then our worship needs to be sanctified and repaired and rebuilt. You see, what did Elijah do? He rebuilt this altar for the honor of the Lord. And he did it, the work, in the name of the Lord. Look at what we read in verse 32. It says, and with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Well, that could be read, for the name of the Lord. He did this for God. He acted by God's authority and for God's pleasure. You see, as Elijah took those stones and he repaired that altar, he had an eye to God's glory. He was not thinking of his own. You see, worship is not primarily about us. It is to God and for God and by God. This altar was built in the name of God, in the name of the Lord, and for his worship and glory and honor. And all, if we are to examine ourselves today, then we ought to do so for the honor and the glory of God. Well, let me close by asking you again, is there an altar in your life? Is there
the private altar and the family altar. And we are praying and trusting that God will restore to us the public worship of God. But has it, I ask you again, has the altar been broken down? Is it in need of repairs today? You see, God says to us, them that honor me, I will honor. And God is honored when the altar of the Lord is repaired. And therefore, may God grant to all of us the grace to examine ourselves. We all need to do this. Examine our own lives and our families and ask ourselves the question, is the altar in need of repair? Oh, may God give us the grace to examine ourselves. And may God give us the strength to obey him for his honor. Because we all know the difficulties of this. We all know the struggles that we have every day. All we need to pray, God, give me strength to obey you, no matter what the cost. No matter how hard it is, God, help me to repair the altar. And may God grant us grace to get on our knees and pray that he would increase that desire in our hearts for his worship and for his glory. May the Lord do that this day. And God willing, when he restores the worship, the public worship of God, that whenever we gather again, our hearts will be filled with an overflowing desire and burden for his worship. And that the worship that ascends to heaven from us will be a sweet-smelling savor unto God. And that God will be pleased to pour out his blessing upon us. May the Lord bless his word to your heart today. Amen. Let's just close in prayer. And we ask the Lord to bless his word to our hearts. Our gracious God, we do rejoice, O Lord, that you are a God of great mercy and forgiveness. Lord, despite our faults and failures, you love us with an everlasting love. You deal with us graciously. We pray, O Lord, you will forgive us for our many failings. And we pray, O Lord, that you will grant to us that help, that strength that we need to sanctify ourselves, to cleanse ourselves, that, Lord, your worship may be preeminent in our lives. O God, we do pray that soon you will restore to us the public worship of God. And we pray that you renew in our own personal lives and amongst our families your worship. O God, do this work, we pray, for the honor of thy name and for the extension of thy kingdom. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.